And it's the Great Debates podcast.
It sure is.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, let's not waste any time because we've got a lot to talk about today because I don't know really how to distill the theme except that we're talking about the Democratic field.
The field. The horses are in the field.
Why are we talking about it so early? Who cares?
I don't know.
Let's just get started. We're going to do a double micro today.
Okay.
I've got 4 minutes on the clock. Healy taking the pro. Beto is the prettiest.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy taking the pro. Beto O'Rourke. What does this guy have going for him? Absolutely nothing except that he's pretty. That is, I don't know why we're not talking about it, but that is the reason, the source of his entire candidacy. He's a three-term congressman from El Paso. Not that interesting. Didn't do anything in Congress. He seems to have kind of like a rocker cool guy thing going on that got people excited. He's pretty. He looks like Robert Kennedy with a slightly sanded down, not as rough edges. That's why we're talking about him. That's why he's running for president. It's that simple. If this guy had a big, ugly face, or he had the exact same resume, but he was like really chubby and kind of oafish, he would not be running for president. What people like about Beto, what inspires them about him, just that he's pretty and he looks kind of like some idea of what a president looks like in 2020, sort of a washed out Kennedy kind of vibe. That's all he has going for him. And yeah, some of the other candidates are kind of attractive. I like Liz Warren a lot facially, but I think when we're talking about the prettiness of candidates, Beto is the guy.
Look, Beto's a good-looking dude, but there's something a little weird about his face if you look at it for a while. Who's prettier? A number of people. Harris, Gillibrand, I would say even Buttigieg is prettier. And I actually think that the prettiest of all might be Cory Booker. There's something very pretty about Cory Booker. Like, he's not traditionally handsome, but he has a prettiness about him. If we're just looking at his face and not his his voice, which is kind of deep. But he is a, like, there's no question that his appearance has been a boon to his career as well. And by the way, same for these other people we're talking about. Like, to me, if we're going to really talk about what it is to be pretty, Kristen Gillibrand embodies that more than Beto O'Rourke, not just because she's like the traditional blonde American girl next door, but because she has a sort of like, because of her smile. Like, Beto doesn't smile that much. He doesn't have a like radiance about him. Sure, he's handsome, he's strong, but his energy skews more towards the masculine, which I don't think is what we consider to be pretty.
Okay, you're doing what you do best, which is taking sort of esoteric opinions and presenting them as fact.
To say that pretty is a feminine
Go through them point by point. First of all, Harris, stately, yes, handsome, even beautiful, dignified, sure. But Harris is just not pretty. She looks like what she is, a cop, a law enforcement person, a power seeker. She has a kind of worldly dimension to her face, a sort of resigned, seen it all kind of air, which
totally
it can be very
disagree.
Beautiful and attractive, but it's simply not pretty.
I
pretty
do not
comes
think
from innocence.
She looks like
pretty
a police officer at all. She has beautiful, long, flowing hair. She has an incredible smile. I'm looking at pictures of her now. She's got dimples. Like, she's adorable.
She looks like she's yelling at you, not you're going to ask her to the dance. Buttigieg, I think is pretty, but there's a little too much.
You're darn right he is.
There's a little too
much
smarminess.
He's also much younger than Beto, which doesn't
hurt his
case.
Okay, we're
going
to get to that. There's a smarminess to Buttigieg where, look, if you really want to argue with me about Buttigieg being prettier, we could have that conversation.
It just occurs to me, you're so wrong about everything that you think Beto like embodies and people like about Beto. He's not pretty. He's a rock star. That's how everyone describes him. There are two things that everyone says about the appeal of Beto. One is that he's got like Bruce Springsteen rock star energy, and the other is that he's like filling a sort of gap that Obama left us, and neither of those things are pretty. That's not where he's coming from, man. I wanted Medina. Was that the buzzer?
Yeah, it went very quietly.
You know I won it at the end right there. Yes. You know I did.
Yes.
And Healy knows it too.
Healy knows it too.
I feel like this debate could have gone on for another 40 minutes to an hour.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Well, hold on for 1 second. I just want to place judgment on the micro and give Davis a win.
Thank you.
And really comes down to clock management, which I thought was great. Davis introduced the point that Cory Booker is the best-looking candidate, and then somehow got Healy to argue against every other person except for Cory Booker.
I know, it was time management. I didn't get to Booker.
Minutes, and
listeners
so
were sitting
out
there saying, you know, Booker is not pretty. He's sort of special. He's strong, but he was a football player. This is not pretty boy.
Can I tell you, when you said Cory Booker, an image flashed in my mind. I thought, oh yeah, facial symmetry, kind
Absolutely.
Of like, yeah, he's got
graceful,
some technically,
yeah, some classical beauty.
Stuff.
No,
that's
question.
A win.
But we're talking about prettiness here. Guys.
Do you want to keep going, or
no,
do you want to?
I mean, we can entertain this as like a little bit of host chat if you want to really get into it.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean,
we can.
Is that the main point that you feel like you left on the floor? See, I actually don't think that Cory Booker is the best looking, but I think he's one of the prettiest.
Who do you think is the best looking?
That might be Beto.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also in the conversation there is Gillibrand. Is it Gillibrand? Man, how do you say your name?
Gillibrand?
I think Gillibrand is very
tough names this primary.
Tough names. Got to be the headline so far in the Dem primary.
Jesus.
You know, look, Joe Biden's pretty good looking too at the end of the day.
He's a handsome guy.
For a man of his age.
But I wouldn't call him pretty, would you?
No, I don't think I would.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the winner is going to be somebody that we haven't been talking about yet? That these guys are all clustering the exit and they're going to crash the door and somebody else is going to walk in the other way?
I don't think so, but who would be someone we're not talking about yet? Does Yang count as someone we're not talking about yet?
Okay.
Alan Yang, but
Yang. Yeah.
Yeah, what's his name?
Andrew Yang. I think Yang is going to do something. He's going to affect the race. I have that feeling already.
Interesting.
And I feel like he's kind of gaming it in a cool way, which I admire and respect.
Uh-huh.
You know, like he figured out if I just get some internet goons going, I can probably get to the debates and then it's anybody's ballgame, right?
I think that's, well, it's interesting. I think Healy, you and I talked about this a little bit, which is that like for people like Andrew Yang and Buttigieg,
mm-hmm.
who are both, who have one of two motives, and we're not sure which they are. One of them is just to like be part of the conversation and maybe move the platform in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is win the actual primary. They both of those motives are very well served by just getting into the debate, right? So it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it's interesting.
Right. No, it's probably not, but I guess like it's like, okay, I guess I'll just stop talking.
Your point is if you want to win the Democratic primary or change the conversation, you have to be in the debate. Yeah, I agree. That's a valuable goal for either of those.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we taking that?
No, I mean, I guess it is sort of a dead end. It's just interesting to me that like, you're right. Both of those guys are focusing on, like, they're not looking at, like, Iowa. They're looking at, like, the debate.
Let
like,
me throw out, I definitely think that's the case.
Forget
it. Well, let me throw out just a, what would you think about this? A hair down, just balls out, I don't give a shit about it anymore, Hillary Clinton re-enters the race.
Give it to me.
And just, I'm going to tell you how it really...
Fuck
forget,
you, fucking fucks.
Yeah.
I'm on the ballot.
Yes, I'm back in.
I'm not going to do the debate.
I'm not doing
any appearances.
Yeah.
I'm on the ballot. Vote for me or
I
don't.
I might go to Iowa.
You know where I stand.
Yeah.
I mean...
Do you wish it was me? That's her poster.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I don't.
I don't think that's
totally
very
new
well
team.
Received.
She has to get rid of. I actually think the problem with Hillary is the people that were surround the world of hungry consultant-y kind of people that seem to surround her
seems
terrible.
Yes, but I think that's like inseparable from what it is to be a Clinton.
Sure. Of
so, but I mean, what about this? What if she divorced Bill and then ran? She was like, whole new me, Hillary Rodham for president.
Hillary Rodham? Hi, nice to meet you for the first time.
Yes. Oh, Healy, let's shoot this ad tomorrow.
Should have done that 4 years or whatever, 3 years ago.
Should she have divorced Bill Clinton?
Yes,
would that have helped?
Clearly would have helped.
You think so?
Totally. I don't know when.
Before the last round.
2015.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think it would have 14. Helped her then. I think it might have helped her if she had done it in 2001 and then and then like hung out for a while.
Yeah.
And either remarried or not, I don't know, and then like ran as Hillary Rodham in 2000.
Would it have been better if the divorce was just messy, nasty? Yes. She's dumping every kind of gnarliness she knows about him.
All publicity is good publicity.
Or would that be bad?
I think that'd be bad. Yeah. I don't know. Why are we talking about Hillary Clinton getting divorced?
Because
I feel
it's
dirty
fun.
About it. Yeah. It is fun.
Hey, so. Man, she put herself in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
her husband's a pretty bad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. No, I feel bad.
Yeah, right? It's weird. Like,
there is
why,
something,
I don't know.
Like, she does get credit for being married to this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, she wouldn't be a senator from New York, secretary of state, candidate for president, had she not been married to Bill Clinton.
You know, that may be true, probably true. I sort of think that it's for the best if we stay away from ideas like that.
Disagree. Well, you got to run right at him. Her path was eased by being married to the guy who was the president of the United States. That helped her political career.
It's possible that there is an alternative history wherein she gave up more than she gained by being the first lady of Arkansas in particular.
It's possible, but...
And not... pursuing her own political ambitions.
You know what the detail I've always thought was interesting about this that's rarely discussed, but I think is like the key moment in maybe Hillary Clinton's life, is she failed the D.C. bar exam.
Ooh.
And that's when she was like, okay, I'm going to move back to Arkansas and marry this man. And I feel like it's like, had she passed that, maybe she would have been like, oh, we got this thing going in Washington. Maybe don't go back to Arkansas.
Wow. Sliding Doors.
I know, right?
And they're making a new, they're making Sliding Doors 2 about Hillary.
Right.
Gwyneth plays Hillary.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. What do we? What do we?
I got
doing?
Another micro. I like this talk, but I got another micro.
Okay, hit me.
More time wastage, really.
Yeah,
4 minutes of time about to be wasted. Healy taking the pro. Klobuchar is harder to pronounce than Buttigieg.
Actually, I think Dave's taking the pro.
I got to take.
Sorry,
the pro
Dave's taking the pro. Dave's taking the pro. 4 minutes go.
Klobuchar. I actually still don't know how to pronounce Klobuchar. Is it char? Is it char? In addition to that, the real problem with Klobuchar is just like the syllable or the what do you call them? Consonants that are in there. Klobuchar. It's like rural juror all over again. It's very hard to both know how to say and then also say. Buttigieg is like kind of funny. It's kind of crispy. And there's two very simple ways to learn how to say it. This was brought to light in his CNN town hall or whatever it was event. His husband apparently says that it's Buddha. It's pronounced Buddha judge, like the Buddha, and then like a Supreme Court judge.
Well, and yeah.
What?
He's going to go with it's pronounced Buddha judge, the guy that's running for president.
No,
his
no.
name is Buddha judge.
No, actually, the guy running for president. If
not
you
Booty
finish,
judge.
If you let me finish,
okay, sorry.
The guy who's actually running for president and not his husband insists that it's pronounced boot edge edge. That's how he in his Twitter bio says that you should say his name, boot edge edge. They asked him about this and he was like, really, if you say both of those things three times fast, it ends up being this. It ends up being roughly the same thing. Boot edge edge, boot edge edge, boot edge edge, boot edge edge. Two great mnemonic devices to learn how to say the guy's name. Not only that, you have associations. It sticks in your mind. It's not nearly as difficult to actually say with your tongue and mouth as Klobuchar, which kind of sticks in there okay. like you're full of peanut butter.
All right, you keep Tom Brokawing Klobuchar for some reason. It's not that hard to say. Klobuchar. Maybe it's Klobuchar. I don't know.
You
that
know,
is
you, actually, you changed two things there. You didn't even realize it.
What did I do?
Is it it Cloba? Is it or ooh? And is it sh or ch?
Clobuchar.
I don't know.
Now, maybe it's Klobuchar.
Klobuchar, which is
what I think is she doesn't care, and we as a nation don't really care that much, probably because it's not as hard and challenging to say. Buttigieg, on the meantime, now, we're saying it naturally because we've spent, you know, 20% of his national television time has been spent working on discussing, dealing with the pronunciation of his name, and he got the message home, and now we can say it. We've learned it. Klobuchar, true to her much more focused, discipline, doing the work strategy, doesn't care. Klobuchar, whatever. You know the name, you know the woman, you know her record. Forget about it. It's not hard to say. Say it however you want. We're not going to make a national sport out of coming up with interesting mnemonics to remember it. Just say Klobuchar. Who cares? Move on.
The idea that it's somehow easier to pronounce just because the person herself has put less time into telling us how to pronounce the name is laughable. There's no hard evidence you've given me for like why Klobuchar is actually easier to pronounce. Buttigieg has three consonant sounds in it. Klobuchar has K, O, B, Sh, or Ch, and R. And L and R are famously like two of the most difficult consonants to say.
Klobuchar is one of the easiest things in the world to say. Now, if it's Klobuchar, if it is Klobuchar,
a ridiculous statement.
Hang on. If it is
Klobuchar, is one of the easiest things in the world to say.
I'm
going to
reclaim some time here. If it's Klobuchar, that's slightly harder to remember, but no harder to say. Now, Buttigieg, Buttigieg, we have to have all those mnemonics because to see two soft G's, I-G-I-E-G, is just an unusual, strange combo in English. And any natural Native American
That's
English speaker is going to say gieg.
That's spelling. That's not pronunciation. Different topic entirely. Medina, what'd you think?
I've felt good about Heel's argument.
What argument?
I don't think there was an argument on your side except saying it and making it sound more difficult.
I think you thought you did,
but I don't think you really did. Klobuchar is easy. Anybody can handle it. I believe is Maltese or Lebanese. Like this is just this isn't from the part of Europe that evolved the English language. This is unusual.
I didn't have an argument. I'm legitimately offended.
I think you had an argument. I just think
multiple.
It's a bummer because like the winning argument is that it is quite easy to say Klobuchar or char. Because and what I kept thinking was saying it more times is the winning argument. The clo is many English words, closed, clothing, whatever. We say that syllable a lot.
By the Shards way, Dan, in the 10 seconds that you've been sort of gently expounding on this, you've made more points than Billy did in his argument.
I don't think it was my best debate ever.
Okay.
I agree. But
then maybe my mind just went there. Maybe I convinced myself.
Yeah.
Now
I won the debate.
That's a problem. Honestly, that's a problem.
I've got a point to make about Buttigieg, by the way.
Go ahead.
I think is by making you take the time to learn it properly, you've sort of like created a sunk cost on Buttigieg, and you are invested in him.
Yeah.
It's like once you donate $5, you want him. You're in it, and you want him to win.
Yeah.
He basically forces you to donate a minute or two of your time to knowing his name properly, and once you've done that, you know, you want him to, you lose if he is not in the contest, right?
Well, this is probably like a part of that, which is that like once you feel like you know how to say his name, you kind, a little piece of you like wants to bring it up in conversation, and you're like, I'm in the know, and it's like, I'm actually a Buttigieg fan.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Yeah, I saw this thing.
Yeah.
You can either be Buttigieg or Buttigieg.
Yeah.
But
it's like, and his husband, you get to say
his,
that.
Yeah, his husband, and you get to be very casual about it. And his husband says, Buttigieg, and he says, yeah, it's definitely part of what's going on there. But he seems pretty great.
Yeah,
on all accounts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Klobuchar, do you think her failure to take the time and force you to process the name is a mistake and of a piece with her throwing binders at people, a general impatience, a not taking the time to explain things. Is not having spent any time making us pronounce Klobuchar or having us care about it at all a failing on her part that speaks to a larger character flaw?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. I think it's probably...
Or does it suggest, hey, here's a woman who knows what's important and it's not how you pronounce my name. It's what are we going to do about income inequality, housing, the Green New Deal.
Now, even I'm looking at this Slate.com article, how to pronounce the candidates' names.
Okay.
For the senator from Minnesota, it says it's pronounced capital K-L-O-W dash lowercase B-U dash S-H-A-R.
Klobuchar.
With the... No. Not Klobuch. Oh, well, you weren't doing that for emphasis. You were doing that for the ch or sh thing.
Yeah.
Because you said Klobuchar.
Yeah.
But it's Klobuchar.
Okay.
Yeah. With the first syllable rhyming with the word blow. Okay. But B-U to me could be boo or bu, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would like that to either be B-O-O or B-U-H.
Boo, like ghost.
Mm-hmm. Or B-U-H.
They were saying
like
Klobuchar.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I think it's buh, but I don't know. Klobuchar. Anyway.
We haven't even had time to get to Hickenlooper.
Weirdly easy to say.
Easy to say, fun to say.
A very American name, kind of.
Yeah.
Johnny Appleseed and Hickenlooper out there.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Over at the old Hickenlooper place.
Hickenlooper Lodge.
You know that guy a little bit.
I do, yeah.
You like him.
I like him a lot. I think he's the real deal.
That's cool as hell.
His whole spirit is working together bipartisan public-private things, which may not be the...
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, that's maybe not the message we want to hear right now.
No. Okay, guys, so we got more.
Lost.
We got more.
More tops, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's what we're going to do to wind it up here on the Field Week.
All right.
We're going to do a boomerang.
The hell is that?
On Earth?
What is a boomerang? Okay. We've done a double barrel before, which is where you're debating two things at one time.
That was really tough.
This is different. This is a boomerang where the topic can be sort of, there's two sides of the topic. It's a black and white kind of thing. And Healy is going to take the pro for a little while. We'll do 4 minutes. Then we're going to flip it around. And he's going to have to take the reverse side, but it's still going to be expressed in the pro. You'll see what I mean when I introduce the topic.
Right. The reverse side isn't the con. It's a different issue we'll see. We'll see what you mean.
It is. It's a slightly different from the con. It's a little
bit. I feel like I'm having a
stroke. There's a nuance there. Let's just get to it and see how it goes.
Let's go.
Healy's taking the pro. 4 minutes on the clock. There's too many.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, okay. That's it.
There's too many.
Steve Healy, I'm taking the pro.
Candidates.
There's too many candidates.
Too many candidates. It's just, we don't need this many. They're not going to last. When you have this many, it's too likely that some kind of freak fluke event happens. It's just not conducive to the debate. It's confusing. It's disorienting. It allows for segmentation. It doesn't unify the party behind some shared ideals that we can go and attack Donald Trump with. It's just a mess. It sort of reflects badly on the number of politicians that think they want this and think they should have this. It suggests anarchy and disarray. It is always bad when a field is too crowded. It can just create chaos and trouble. They can block the door and the wrong person gets in. I just don't like it. I think there's too many candidates running and it's dangerous.
This is a good number of candidates we have. I think that people are a little... blinded by the fact that so many people have declared so early and it started earlier than ever. But in reality, this isn't that different. I mean, we have still fewer than the number of Republican people who ran just 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that did not work out well for them, I think.
It did. They're now the party in power. They won
in a way, but it also tore their party to pieces and has been disastrous for the nation. And probably anyone who really cares about the Republican Party has suffered from it. They would have rather it not gone this way.
I think if you
a crazed chaos agent took over their party and got himself
and is the president and is like pursuing for the most part a Republican agenda, and they won, which is like all that most voters care about is like my team.
But it might destroy their party for a generation if you're a true conservative.
Yeah, it might, Healy, but that also could have been true if there were
not the outcome a Republican Party stalwart wanted. As we saw at the Republican convention, Paul Ryan was like trying to hide his face from what he had to preside over. It was a disaster for him.
Okay, first of all, I believe that like them winning is evidence of the fact that it worked out fine for them. I also don't think there's any evidence that really suggests
that. No, them didn't
win. Can I talk for a little bit? That they did win, Healy. You can't say that. Like, there's a reason that 90% of Republicans voted for him. It's because he pursues a Republican agenda. It's because he is, like, more than anyone playing the me versus them, Republican versus Democrat presidential-level politics.
Like, do you think 2016 was good for the Republican Party and its organizing principles?
Yes.
I think it was bad for them.
They're a party based on, like, brown people are bad and we should restrict freedoms and access to healthcare for people, and that's what's going on. Like, yeah, they won. Anyway, regardless, my second point about that is that I don't think that there's any evidence that that was a function of how many people were in the nomination. I think that Trump could easily have just beaten Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush. He basically picked them off one by one anyway, and if it had been a three-person race, I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that it would have been any different. That aside, the number of people that we have in the Democratic race right now is good. It's healthy. It's about the same number that led to Clinton winning in 1992. A lot of people forget just how many people there were. Clinton was polling at 1% or 2% at about this time in 1990, or I guess it would be 1991 at this point, and he ended up winning, and it was like a healthy, vigorous debate, and this number of people can be very good for like actually illuminating which like factions of the party are different from other factions, and also like the idea that this is going to lead to chaos, or you haven't even mentioned this, but like let's say a contested convention, that is much more a function of when states vote and how many excellent candidates there are and not the sheer number of candidates. It's actually far more likely to happen. I know that the buzzer's going, but Healy ate up all of my opening statement. It's actually far more a function of are there two or more very popular candidates, then is it a function of like there are 14 mildly popular candidates? That's not when you get chaos. When you get chaos is basically like we almost had it with Obama and Clinton. These are two people who are like very, very narrowly divided. That's it, right?
We're mm-hmm. done. Buzzer.
We're going to flip it around.
What does that mean, though?
Now, Healy's going to take the pro again. There's not enough candidates.
Okay, look, the range of
people... I don't know about this. Let's see what happens, but this just feels weird.
Look at the Democratic field. Is everything you want from... Take anyone in the Democratic Party from a sort of bipartisan, workaday union organizer who's been in the party for a long time to a far-left eco kind of freak to basically a near-communist to somebody who just doesn't like Donald Trump but actually is fairly conservative, pro-life person. All these range of views are represented in the Democratic Party, and despite the number of candidates, there's not enough to represent all these views. We're basically getting a...
This is ridiculous. I'm going to talk over you since you did that on my opening statement in the last one. If you consider yourself a Democrat, which is to say if you're someone who's likely to vote in the Democratic primary, most people right now are like, I would vote for any of these guys over Donald Trump, and most people also are like, I like these three people, and I also kind of like these two people. I have not heard one person who says, like, my guy's just not in the race yet. I'm still waiting for someone to like pick up on my tiny little 2% of worldview that somehow hasn't been adopted by like, let's say, the difference between Sanders and Warren, which in the scheme of the political spectrum as a whole is like tiny. You said it yourself, everyone's like arguably the only type of person that isn't in there yet is like a center right type person, like a Joe Manchin or something. But I don't think anyone is clamoring for that.
Give me that. And the great Democrats of old that are just responsible foreign policy thinkers,
like, that person
dignified, reaching across the aisle.
That person will happily go to bat for the like four people who are on the most right edge of the Democratic nominees right now. They're the people who are the furthest in the center. It's like Gillibrand and Klobuchar and I don't know who else, but like, I mean, you yourself just said Hickenlooper is all about bipartisanship. Sounds like he's a pretty good nominee for someone who's interested in like the left and right working together.
What if I'm looking for a Hickenlooper, but with some foreign policy experience? The only argument
for this, by the way,
what if I'm looking for Bernie Sanders, but younger? What if I'm looking for Elizabeth Warren style banking policies, but a toughness on foreign policy and a support of Israel that I'm not seeing from Elizabeth Warren? What if I'm looking for...
You're still going to vote for Elizabeth Warren. And by the way, this idea that like people are motivated by principles like that is a fallacy. People like candidates; they don't like actual.
You know, I was
going to
bring this up. I was because
like you talk about.
I totally agree with you,
this
Dave.
This is not how voters function. They don't function by going, "I need someone who checks all of these boxes." Davis? They go like this: "I kind of like Sanders. I like this guy." That's how it works.
I agree
it's
with you.
It's not a matching up of, and there's 15 personalities.
I don't know who you're debating,
from.
Dave, because I agree with you completely.
Great,
and there
so
just
more than
isn't that personality yet. We want some more.
I'm going to give you the, Healy, I'm gonna give you the argument that you haven't made, that just the only valid argument here, which is that there's a
Dave,
large
the
number.
Lack of respect
let me give it to you. I'm going to help you win the debate. You're losing so badly that I have to lend you a hand here. There's a large number of Democrats who want Joe Biden to run, and he hasn't announced yet. And there's a large number of people who will get excited, for better or worse, if Joe Biden enters the ring. And for that reason alone, there aren't enough candidates, because if Joe Biden got in, it would help the Democratic Party.
I can
That's
tell.
The
Today
only
you came to argue
you
and not to debate,
it.
And I'm disappointed with you.
What's that?
Today you came to argue and not to debate, and I'm disappointed with
I
you.
I mean, that's absurd.
You
Healy.
Got emotional.
I can't help it that I've crushed you in every debate, and I only won one of them for some
You're
reason. It's not my, that's
you
not
got
my fault.
And angry. I thought
mean,
saying
I'm
Buttigieg
not
would
angry.
Help you.
I'm not getting, I didn't
angry
get angry about the pronunciation. I got upset because I made a number of points and then it was presented to me as if I didn't make any points. And I actually raised a number of valid points about that, including the multiple mnemonic devices that you can use to say his name.
As I
In this
proved
debate,
to you,
you
that
lost
was a
so
factor
poorly
that, was
that
wrong.
I had to help
as
you
usual,
out and I feel
you were
bad about
arguing
that.
The wrong side. This is so typical of you. You back yourself into a corner. Medina, get us out of here. Ugh, moderate our way out of
what
this.
What a mess.
This might have been the worst debate we've ever had.
It was great, though.
I think it was good.
Really fantastic.
I thought it was a good, healthy
and
exchange
vibrant.
Of ideas.
I don't. It's very hard to pick like what a like, winner means there, but I think we did great.
I
you
think
guys
it's possible
did great.
To think there are too many and there's not enough.
It's certainly I possible you just that. Didn't present a good argument for either of us. I mean, yeah, I get, like, sure, that's certain. Yeah, I agree with you. You could make that case. What do you think is the right number of candidates?
Right now, I think as many as 20. Like, we could have tons. The Iowa primary's not until February. We're going to get so bored of talking about these people. There should be new people entering every month that you've never heard of.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think 20
It should be rotating.
Feels more European.
Should there be a cap? Should the DNC say... Okay, once 20 people have gotten this number of, like, for example, it's
like
possible
it's a
that 100 people could get whatever it is, 65,000 donations to be eligible for the debates.
Uh-huh.
What do you do then? Like, should there be a hard
I
cap
think you
on
have
this?
A big riotous debate.
Yeah
or it looks like cool. A deal or no deal or something.
It just turns into, like, Bumbershoot or something.
It turns into, like, a parliament, basically.
Okay.
You know, and they have a... Maybe they elect the debaters themselves elect a leader of the debate
Love
and there's
that.
A speaker and I don't know. It could be fun.
It could be its own show.
It turns into Bumbershoot.
It, well, is, just like it the, is its own show.
Yeah, because it would be like in the small tent, we've got Inslee and Hickenlooper going to debate. You know.
Oh, yeah. Hickenlooper's a Big Ten guy.
No, get out of here.
This guy was the governor of Colorado. He's
well, that
great.
Doesn't mean that doesn't mean anything.
You show me a, you show me one of these candidates who was an executive of a purple state who balanced the environmental concerns of the Front Range,
yes.
Gas and oil drilling, all the things that are going on in Colorado, considered
that.
To be a universally acknowledged, beloved governor, didn't not a lifelong politician, came up as a bartender, a geologist, mayor of Denver. This is the kind of guy you want to be president of the United States.
Right. You're of the mind that, like, which tent you perform in is somehow determined by, like, how good you actually are and how viable you are as opposed to like how many people have heard of you.
Well, I look, sometimes I like to look to appeal to ideals. I'm sorry, if you want to be a brutal cynic about it, then why don't we have The Rock?
I gotta sell tickets.
Okay, yeah.
He hasn't entered. But if he did, if he threw his hat in the ring, selling he'd be tickets a big to
the, you're producing the debate now.
Well, I think like if there were a big, I am, and if there were a big tent and a little tent, the big tent is for, again, for better or worse, the people who are like polling at 15%.
Put on
above
just
right
your television.
The Warren. Warren is the cutoff in the big tent.
Put on just your television producer hat for a second. Ugh. How many people do you want in the debate?
I think you actually only, you either want two debates of like.
Two heats.
Yeah, two heats. Mm. So that could be as many as like 8 or 9 people. I actually think like a 5-person debate mm-hmm. is about it, is like what you want. Because mm-hmm. otherwise people, there just isn't time mm-hmm. for people to talk.
Mm-hmm. I think
5 personalities
it's gotta be an
for
an odd number.
Yeah, that's good.
You looks good. Odd, looks but good, then the problem with the odd up. Is someone's in the middle.
Who's in the middle?
Four people.
Sweet 16. That's the number yes. of people you want. That's
March Madness.
That's crazy. That's too many characters. I can't keep, well, not, that's Game of Thrones. I can't keep track.
Gonna, first week, 8 versus 8. The leader, then mix them up again. But the Sweet 16, you could get behind that as an idea. That's enough candidates.
I like the early candidates throwing down with each other.
Yeah.
Organizing, yeah. like, Beto's yeah. like, come on, Klobuchar, let's
yes.
do one.
Yes.
Fuck these other guys.
Yes. Interesting.
We'll
love
bang
that.
One
yeah.
out, just you and me.
That's
and
a great
and
idea.
They should start grabbing
calling
time
out somebody
now.
Strong. Buttigieg calls out Harris.
Here
you and
go.
Me are the
let's
serious
go.
Candidates.
Let's get them on the
yeah.
great
let's
debates.
Go.
Yeah.
That's we should try to get them all on the great debate.
Who do you think we're most likely to get?
Inslee? Well,
Hickenlooper.
Well, yeah.
Buttigieg, I feel like we're 2 degrees of separation away from Buttigieg.
I feel like Buttigieg is the kind of guy who's maybe looking for alternative media.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. Yang, I mean, Yang would probably do it if we ask him.
Maybe. I don't know. He seems like he's got.
But his whole strategy seems built around memes, internet,
yeah.
what it just cults, you know, media.
What about this?
Yeah.
When you said Sweet 16, really got my brain going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need a bracket.
Mm-hmm. A bracket. For
I
sure.
mean, that would be awesome.
Duh, yeah.
Like, national debate, 1 versus 16, next day, national vote online.
CNN had the clickers that the audience watched and it made the
yeah.
line move. If
yeah.
we could have brackets with that kind of scoring.
That's what we need.
And then you move on or you get, you know, you go to the runner-up.
Now, how often do you think the best team in the country wins the March Madness NCAA tournament? Like, is it a good system for getting to the best?
No.
How do you define the best team?
No,
the
I
guys who win or the whatever?
I think it's probably about 30% of the time the best team wins. I don't
this,
know. Mina Kimes
this is the same fucking argument as the World Series, though, and it really bugs me. Because the goal of baseball and the rules is to win the World Series.
That's right.
There's no prize for winning the most games.
Right.
There's no statistical contest for infinite number of games and therefore winning percentage, like somehow kind of played out over time. There's the national championship in NCAA basketball, and there's the fucking World Series. And either you win or you don't. So the team who wins is the best team at playing Major League Baseball.
Hmm. It does depend. I guess it depends, like, who. Yeah, there's certainly an argument.
I mean, if there
cool.
was another baseball league where it was like, we're just going to play games until we die, and like whoever at the end of time has the best winning percentage wins, then we could talk about it in a different way. But the reality is there's a World Series every year.
Well,
and an
would,
NCAA championship.
Let me ask you this. Would you feel differently if the World Series were just one game?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't, because then it would be the rules of the game.
Right. Your attitude is like they're the best because they it defines itself. If you're the champion, then you are the best.
Yeah,
okay,
these
well,
are the rules.
What if the commissioner of baseball, like when they got to the World Series, the commissioner randomly, okay, it's going to be 5 games. And then you learn that then the team has to quickly adjust
yes.
and adapt.
Interesting contest. Different ball game.
Having been
different
through this
preparations.
Debate, do you think the Democrats are doing better than you did at the beginning of the debate? Do you feel better about the Democratic field at the
what?
End of field debate uh-huh. than you did before?
Do you think the shit we talked about for the last half hour
did
is anything
change
to do with
your
oh,
mood?
No, not at all.
Nothing.
I think they're doing badly.
Oh,
badly?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the simultaneous answer to too many, not enough is until it's clear who it's got to be, there's not enough, and at that point there will be too many.
Mm. Wow.
Guys, I had a great time this week.
It's been fun.
We'll see you next week on The Great Debates.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.